Reading from Sri Bhajan Rahasyam by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We were discussing about Ruchi and Nam Bhajan. And yesterday we were discussing about Abhiman, about the mentality. We talked about Deha Abhiman, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to in one verse from the Bhagavatam, which we mentioned yesterday. Then we had some discussion about this Seva Abhiman, to develop the mentality of being a servant, that this is the precursor to actually realizing one's Siddha Sarup, that we have to have the Bhav, the Seva Bhav, and specifically, if we have some inclination to serve the Lord in a particular Stai Bhav, such as Madhurya Bhav, then we will develop this mood of Gopi Bhav, the Bhav of a Gopi. Of course, the Gopi's Bhav, or you can say Manjari Bhav, as one Acharya was explaining, every atom, if you want, it's just an analogy, because Gopi's bodies are not made of atoms. They're made of Bhav. They're actually made of Bhav. This is interesting construction, that the gopis' bodies are made of bhav. The supreme gopi is Srimati Radharani, and her body is made, sometimes we say that God or Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakarana Karana, Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahma is defining the transcendental nature of Bhagavan's Divya Kalevaram, or spiritual body. That's nice when we talk about Narayan and Vishnu. But when we talk about Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna in Vrindavan, his body is made of Prem Sarup. These other aspects are his energetic aspects, or his energies, Sandini, Shakti, Ladani, Samvit. But then Radharani, what is she made of? She's made of Mahabhav. See? Mahabhav Sarupini. Her Sarup, her form, is made of Mahabhav. It is simply the emotions or the feelings of different aspects of love and moods and sentiments to serve Krishna. So a Manjari's body, every atom, if you want to think of it like that, every atom of the Manjari's body is made of service. And we're introduced to that idea of Manjari's Sarup from the very beginning. That the Jiva, what is the Jiva Sarup? Jivera Sarupaya Krishna Nityadas. The Jiva Sarupaya. What is the Sarupa of the Jiva? We are, of course, are not Antaranga Shakti. We are not Kayo Vyuha of Radharani. We are not the Sarup Shakti of the Lord. We are Tatastha Shakti. But even the Tatastha Shakti, the Jivas, who are manifesting or appearing in this realm of Tatastha, our Sarup is also Seva. Jivera Sarupaya, the Sarupa the Jiva is Nitya, say Nitya Krishna Das, Das Anodas. So this Bhav, the Bhav of being a servant, is there with the Jivas, it's there with Radharani, and it's there with Krishna himself. Because his Prem Sarup, Radharani's Mahabhav. So Gopi Bhav, this mood of a Gopi is a mood of Seva. So this, at the level of Ruchi, one develops this intense bhav, or this mood of being a servant and wanting to serve. And we were discussing this verse briefly yesterday. And there's a commentary here. It says, the sadhaka experiences his own transcendental form, swarup, by cultivating pure devotional service that is unobstructed and not personally motivated. Upon realizing his sarup, he very easily cuts the knot of ignorance by which he identifies the material body as I and material objects as mine. When the living entity transcends the three modes of sattva, raja, and tama, he is able to experience Bhagavad Ras, which is endowed with all potencies. This takes place by the influence of association with devotees. Since he is self-realized, he searches for Bhagavan, who is beyond the material modes, who is non-dual absolute truth, endowed with all transcendental qualities, and who is infallible. By cultivating bhakti in this way, he gradually becomes eternally situated in his own sarup. So this is the commentary on this verse from Bhagavatam, which is describing like that. This is Manu speaking. Swayambhuva Manu is speaking to Dhruva, and he's saying, by searching for Bhagavan, Ananta, who possesses all potencies, who is the embodiment of supreme transcendental bliss, and resides within all living entities as super soul, your devotion will become very steady. On the strength of that devotion, you will be able to cut the tight knot of ignorance in the form of the false conceptions of I and mine. So the idea here is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sees that this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and that Dhruva, it's called Dhruva Charitra. Charitra means like Chaitanya Charitamrita, means the life story of Dhruva, Dhruva Charitra, fourth canto of Bhagavatam. Bhaktivinoda sees that this verse holds a secret of bhajan, bhajan rahasyam. It has a key which will unlock some treasure that we're interested in. That is the treasure of ruchi. He's seeing that in this verse, one will get inspiration to cut the knot of aham mameti, of I and mine. Because the knot in the heart, vidya grantam, that tight knot in the heart of aham mameti, it expresses itself as dhanam, janam, and sundaram, kavitam. The desire, or kavitam, or rather, kamaye, the desire for wealth and enjoyment, sense pleasure, followers, adoration, worship, distinction, liberation, mukti, salvation, emancipation, all types of material goals and rewards. This is the expression of this tight knot of aham mameti. So this verse, Manu is telling Dhruva, so he's also telling us, that search for the Lord. He's saying here, you search, we should be absorbed in searching for the Lord. And where can you find him? In everyone's heart. And in your own heart. And if we absorb ourselves in searching for the Lord, then what happens? We become nishta. Our devotion becomes steady. And then on the strength of that steadiness, nishta, then you can cut the tight knot of ignorance. So having a taste for material objects and material pleasures is a sign of gross ignorance. And that ignorance is based on the misconception that I'm the body. So when one directs his interest and directs his attention to searching for Bhagavan in the hearts of others and in the hearts of in his own heart, then that search will lead him to sadhu, to a saintly person. And that search, because that serious search for Bhagavan will be understood by the super soul who is in our heart, then he will manifest externally as guru and say, listen, your search is ended. I will tell you how to get free from this illusion that you're living, that you're actually Krishna's servant, and that you'll find your real pleasure here by serving Krishna. Like in the first canto in Bhagavatam, Pariksit Maharaj asked Shukadeva, he said, what will really satisfy a person? What is that one thing which will actually satisfy the self? Yena atma supersedati. And Shukadeva Goswami said, the only thing that will satisfy the self is unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna bhakti. This is the only thing that will satisfy. Satisfy means gives a taste of satisfaction, fulfillment, enjoyment. So this is when ruchi begins, when one actually feels satisfied, that he doesn't feel any itching or any pushing to look anywhere else but to bhakti for satisfaction. And that he actually, by doing bhakti, and bhakti is interesting because bhakti is done for the satisfaction of someone else. That's the meaning of bhakti. Bhakti is done for the satisfaction of, and that someone is Krishna, or Bhagavan, or Guru, or Vaishnavas. Maybe just serving Vaishnavas, serving prasadam to them, or doing some favor for them. And it has nothing to do with your own pleasure, but in that service, so much pleasure comes without asking, without endeavoring, without calculating. And it's a special kind of pleasure because it doesn't have any side effects. There's no side effects to spiritual pleasure. But material pleasure brings so many side effects. physical and psychological, emotional, economic, financial, many side effects happen. But in this spiritual circle of love, where one is endeavoring only to bring happiness to Krishna and his parts and parcels, because you're in the circle, what, as they say, what goes around comes around. It's like kind of like a boomerang. You've heard of this. There's something in Australia they use for hunting, like a piece of wood shaped like this, like a V. Is that right? They throw it in the air, and it's designed in such a way, if you throw it up in the air, it's like a wing of a helicopter. It will come back to you. You throw it this way, and it comes back. So this bhakti is like a boomerang. We're only interested in throwing. The person's effort, he only throws. He goes in one direction, he throws. And he doesn't do anything to bring the boomerang back. He just throws it, and it comes right back to him. Throws it there, and it comes back. His only effort is to throw it, and it comes back. So this is what bhakti is. We put all our effort into throwing. We put all our effort into throwing our service, or throwing our love towards Krishna, or throwing our love means service, throwing or showing our love to Krishna and the devotees, and automatically we throw it out. We just throw it and don't even worry. Oh, hey, it came back. It came back in double time. And that's what Krishna himself experienced. He throws his love to Radharani. He offers himself. He throws himself, figuratively and literally, at Radharani. And she returns the love hundredfold. And Krishna becomes amazed. He becomes astounded. What is this? No. I offer some love to her, but she offers so much love to me that I can't understand how she can love me like this. I'm trying my best to love her, and I'm feeling incomplete. Napariyaham. I can't repay. I can't. She's giving me 1 lakh, and I'm giving her 1 rupee. She's loving me with 1 lakh of feelings and sentiments, and I'm giving back 1 rupee. I'm so much indebted. What can I do? So this is the nature of bhakti. It has this exponential effect that you give a little and you get a lot. But we always reserve. We always keep some reserve tank. We keep a little spare gas in case we might run out. The reserve tank. But actually, we should give everything. So this verse is, he's saying that bhakti destroys the egoism arising from falsely identifying the body with the self. It removes the ego. So if we want to taste the pleasure of serving Krishna, or just experience the ruchi and bhajan, the spiritual taste, then the ego has to step aside. It has to become purified. This ego is eternally existing. But we say ahankar. That means there's hankar and ahankar. Ahankar means the wrong identity. Hankar means identity. But when it's raw upside down, it becomes ahankar. So we have to actually change this. Then the taste will come. So he has one more verse about ruchi, and this is the end of the chapter. And he says that this is on a higher level of nam ruchi. As one goes forward and nam ruchi, then eventually he comes to asakti. There's ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema. So at the level, advanced level of ruchi, one can engage in lila smaranam. Not for 1 second, but for continued time. There's such a thing as, there's dhyan, dhruvana smriti, and samadhi. And then there's mantra upasana, then there's swarasiki upasana. These are different levels of absorption and concentrating and remembering Krishna's nam, rup, gun, and lila. So here he quotes another verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the teachings of the Sanat Kumara to Prithu Maharaj. He says, Canto 4, chapter 29, verse 39. Yat para pankaja palasha velasa bhaktya karamashayam kratitam ugratayanti santa tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo pirudha shoto ganashtamaranam bhajavasudevam. Shroto Ganashtamaranam Vajavasudevam. Sounds nice. Some Sanskrit is very beautiful. even though we don't know anything, but at least we can say it sounds nice. Like I hear someone speak French. Someone speaks French language. It sounds very nice. Sounds very sweet. Everyone knows that, but if you actually hear it, it's very... And then Bengali is also sweet. Two people came the other day from Bombay, one lady and her friend and her friend's husband, and she came to buy a book. And she said she's Bengali. I said, can you just speak some Bengali? I want to hear some Bengali. Something. And she's initiated. So she started speaking. I said, oh, kichu, mahavru kichu kripa hoi. You know, just, she's saying so much. It sounds so sweet. It's so too much beautiful. Because our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he was also speaking this language, Bangla Bhasha. So Sanat Kumar said to Prita Maharaj, Bhagavan Bhaktas, devotees of Bhagavan, are easily able to cut the knot in the heart in the form of desires for fruitive activities. So this Vridya Grantham, this knot that ties up our heart, that keeps us from tying our heart to Krishna's heart, and keeps Krishna from tying his heart to our heart, which is also Damodar Leela. You showed us having Damodar Leela with Krishna, but every devotee, every sadhaka is also having Damodar Leela with Krishna. Udar means belly, or means a container, or means an area. So our udar is our consciousness. Our area, our belly, is our consciousness, or our heart, our mind. And dhamma means rope. And the rope is devotion. As Yashoda tied Krishna with her rope of devotion, we're also trying to tie Krishna with the rope of our devotion. And within this month, actually I was saying it was on Amavasya, but I was reading Sanatana Goswami's commentary on this Damodar Bandhan Leela, and he says that Yashoda bound Damodar on the Ekam, on Pratipad, which is the first day after Amavasya, which is Govardhan Puja. So in another year, when Krishna was small in Gokul, 2 years old, maybe he was 2.5 or so, almost 3, he was bound up by Mother Yashoda to the grinding mortar on the same day of Govardhan Leela, or Govardhan Puja, which was several years later in Vrindavan when he was 7 years old. So we're also trying to tie the Lord up in our heart during this month with our devotional expression. So devotees can easily cut the knot in the heart in the form of desires for fruitive activities by meditating upon the splendor that emanates from the toes of Bhagavan's lotus feet. However, impersonalist yogis who are devoid of loving devotion cannot do so even by controlling their senses. Therefore, give up the endeavors of Gyan, Yoga, and so forth, and engage in a bhajan of Vasudeva Krishna. Because this is mentioned there. Bhaja Vasudevam. Shroto Ganashtamaranam Bhaja Vasudevam. So this is the Sanat Kumara is instructing Prithu Maharaj. Because Prithu Maharaj, he was in this mood of Shantaras, or Dasiras, Aishwarya mood, and serving the Lord as a king, an empowered king, Shaktivesh, representative of the Lord. And he had this idea, so he's not being told here to worship Brijendra Nandan, but Vasudeva Krishna. Vasudeva Krishna is Krishna's aspect as Chit Shakti, or Samvit Shakti is Vasudeva Krishna. So this is Aishwarya. This verse, there's a phrase that says Vilas Bhaktya. Yatpada Pankaja Palasha Vilasa Bhaktya. Yatpada Pankaja Palasha Vilasa Bhaktya. So this Vilas Bhakti, this means that the sadhaka, that means the practitioner, or us, he contemplates Krishna's body. He meditates on Krishna's body and meditates on different kinds of services, such as anointing Krishna with perfume, giving him an oil massage, bathing him, and so forth. Meditation on the toes of Sri Krishna, who is clever in Brajaras, means remembering that his lotus toes have been colored by kunkum while he was performing intimate pastimes in the bowers of Vrindavan with the Braja Devis. By meditating on this, all the knots of the disease in one's heart are easily and naturally destroyed. How can the impersonalist, who are covered by ignorance, obtain all these transcendental sentiments? They do not even accept the eternality of Bhagavan and his transcendental form. Although they consider themselves liberated, in reality they are not. So this is very nice. This vilas means pastimes, and bhakti means pastimes of love, or bhakti, bhakti vilas, or vilas bhakti. Yat para pankacha palasha vilasa bhaktya. Pankacha palasha, para pankacha. The lotus feet, leaf like. Palasha is a type of leaf. Very soft and gentle lotus feet. So Sanat Kumara is saying this is a way, and the higher end of ruchi, as our ruchi for Nam increases, our ruchi for Krishna will also increase, because we'll realize that Krishna's name is not different from his form. The name and the form will become one. As we develop taste for the name, then chanting the name will actually perceive Krishna's form. And even if we're not, we will directly perceive Krishna's form at the last stage of ruchi. But even in the middle stage of ruchi, we'll have an intense desire to want to perceive Krishna's form. This will come. The ruchi and nam will give us a desire. Yes, I want to perceive Krishna's form. I want to see Krishna's form. I want to see Krishna. I want to meditate on Krishna's form. And then the acharyas give various small books, and there's Rupa Dhyan Rupa Dhyan Charitamrita or something. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a small booklet where he provides a guided meditation on how to meditate on the form of Krishna. So this is for sadhakas, how to meditate it, because someone who's on the level of bhava or prema, they don't need any guided meditation. Their mind is already guided. They already know. Krishna is already resting in their mind. So they don't need to be guided. Now you meditate on Krishna's beautiful smiling face. Now you see his, and like it's guided like this, down to his feet, now from his feet back up to his face. It's interesting when in Vishnu's meditation, although meditation is usually pointing one towards the feet, first and second canto of Bhagavatam represent Krishna's lotus feet. So generally we meditate from bottom to the top. But this is an Aishwarya Mahi Bhakti. But a Madhurya Mahi Bhakti means that bhakti which is full of sweetness, the sweetness of Madhurya. So usually, Madhurya means conjugal love. So lovers, one of the symptoms or symbols of conjugal love means that the beloved kisses the beloved. So that's up here. Nobody kisses feet. Well, sometimes Krishna kisses Radharani's feet. And first he bathes them with his tears, and then he kisses them. So this meditation Vishwanath is describing in his Rup Dhyan, meditate on the form of Radha and Krishna, begins with the kumbitam, the sweet lips. Meditate on that sweet smile of Krishna and his rosy red lips, which are like this bimba fruit, which is something like a black cherry. It's kind of reddish-black, very beautiful color. So this is Madhurya. Our meditation starts with Krishna's sweet lips. And at the end, we go to his feet. If you're a Vishnu Bhakta aspiring to go to Vaikuntha, then in Vaikuntha there's nothing but Shanta and Dasya. It says two and a half rasas are there. There's Shanta and Dasya, and half means a little bit of Madhurya. That's the half. And that half, that Madhurya of Swakya Bhav, of married love between Lakshmi and Narayan, it's half because mostly her mood is Shanta and Dasya. Although she's officially the wife of Narayan, who has all rights reserved to the most intimate and sweetest of pastimes, she is relegated to be only a foot massager. So this is like Dasya Bhav. So that's why he said, Charya is saying, Vaikuntha, you can only have two and a half rasas. There is no Sakya Rasa here. Who's a friend of Narayan? Who can get near him? He's got all his chakras spinning all the time. You get too close to him, you get a shave. You know, Wilkinson sword blade. You get your they all have a mustache, you get your mustache cut off. So you can't get too close to Lord Vishnu. And who's the mother of Narayan? Can you tell me? No, because there ain't none. There isn't a mother of Narayan. And who's the father? So there's no Vatsali Ras, there's no Sakhi Ras, and the Madhuri Ras is so crippled and so shrunken and so weakened, it's called half. Half lover, half wife. Not even full wife. It's called 2.5 rasas in Vaikuntha. So here in Madhuriya Ras, for the Madhuriya Mayi Bhaktas, they want this we say Hasitam Madharam. Your laughing is sweet. The Kapola Madharam, your lips are sweet, your smile is sweet. Everything is sweet. Madharadi Patera Kilam Madharam. Everything is sweet about Krishna. So even our meditation, we start at the top and work our way down. We don't go in and asking for 10 rupees. We say, look, please give me 1 crore rupees. So we go in and say, Krishna, give me a kiss, and let's start with a kiss. Let our relationship start with a kiss. Oh, who are you? Hey, wait a minute. You don't even know my name. Don't worry about it. It's quite forward. So this is intimacy. This is confidentiality. This is the sweetness of Braj Bhakti. There's not this formality of all this distance and introduction, and you have to be introduced, and a letter, and a formal. There's nothing formal, no formality. So Sanatana Kumara is giving us explanation, and this commentary is here. This is Vishnu's commentary on this verse, where he brings this point out, that when one, in the beginning stages of Ruchi, we're chanting Hare Krishna with some Ruchi, and we have some taste to chant the name. And then as we go along with taste to chant the name, then there comes this desire, an actual slight perception of Krishna's form, or at least the desire to experience or think of Krishna's form. At the higher end of Ruchi, which is describing here, one actually relishes the taste by meditating on Krishna's form. In the middle stage, he follows the guides. He follows the guides given by the acharyas, or he can use his own inspiration to meditate on different aspects of Krishna's form, because Krishna has 5 different forms which manifest in this world to the sadhaka, the antaryami, and there's Archamurti, and there's Vilas Vigraha, and Vaibhav Vigraha, then the Swayam Bhagavan. So these 5 different forms can be meditated on. You can meditate on the Murti of the Lord, you can meditate on the Super Soul, that's generally Vishnu form, and this is what, of course, our Dhruva was meditating on, Dhruva Maharaj. This is Prithu, but Dhruva Maharaj is meditating Vishnu, or the deity, Murti. And then in the higher end of Ruchi, because now as you get more and more Ruchi and Nam, you become attached. That's called a Sakti. You become attached. You become attached to Krishna's form and Krishna's qualities and Krishna's pastimes, hearing about them, chanting them, and remembering them. So here, this verse is the last verse of the chapter before he describes the meditation of the Jata Rati Sadaka. That Sadaka who has actually entered the state of Bhav. Rati means Bhav. So what he will... This is Chaturtha Yama Sadhana. What is his sadhana? What is he doing when he chants the Maha Mantra? What is he experiencing? That's the last verse. So this verse, there's one verse in each chapter for the Jatarati Sadaka. And in this verse, in this particular chapter, there's 22 verses for the Ajatarati Sadaka, who is us, at least it's me. He who has not attained the state of Bhav, then he has 22 verses, 22 secrets to meditate on, to think about, and to implement in his practice of Nam Bhajan. So this is the last verse. So obviously, Ruchi is progressive. So this is the highest state of Ruchi is bordering. Ruchi bordering on a Sakti will bring out this type of taste for the holy name and this type of natural meditation, where one is meditating on different kinds of services. In books such as Sankalpa Kalpadrum by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, they mention these kind of services that mandris will offer. So although one, even if one has not attained his siddhadeya, or realize either be given a siddhadeya to meditate on or realize his siddhadeya, he can aspire or think about and pray for the day or pray for the time when he will have the adhikar and eligibility to render such services. Because hankering to render the services that are mentioned by Vishwanath in Sankalpa Kalpadruma, oh, when will I braid your hair? When will I dry your hair with smoke from aguru wood? And when will I untangle your when you're lying together in Nishant Lila in the Kunja Mandir with your Priyatam, when you're lying there and your hair is entangled, your nose ring and Krishna's nose ring, and maybe entangled, your hairs are entangled there. Now I will very carefully and deftly untangle your hair from Krishna's nose ring. And as I render this service in my Mandri Sroop, I will be so careful that I will consider each one of your hair, each piece of your hair, is more valuable to me than millions of my own lives. Such concentration, such attention. There's no question of falling asleep there. There's no question of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When you're untangling Radharani's hair, it's not that you're taking one hair from Krishna's nose ring and you fall asleep on top of Radha and Krishna. You go, hey, what are you doing? This won't happen. So in Ruchi, these types of hankerings and aspirations to think like this, to desire like this, to feel like this, they start to come in a very beginning way. And these develop more and more, and they become very strong at a sakti, and then bhava, they become actually visualized in a form of spurti. You will see what the object of your meditation. So this, there's still a little time. This last verse, is there any questions on what we said so far? Savi Sachin? Yes.
With enjoying. And the old shloka is saying that karmis, gyanis, and yogis, they don't get pleasure in the beginning and even from the end, they complete their part. But devotee, from the very beginning, the vasa bhakti, enjoying the bhakti, therefore he is free from everything else. So I was always thinking the vasa bhakti, when the enjoying comes, devotees, they enjoy. And at the same time, enjoying in the bhakti should never be
the objective.
The objective. So, how do we balance those things when enjoying comes?
The word vilas. I mean, vilas means. I'm not really much learned in Sanskrit or at all, but vilas. Generally, we say vilas means pastimes, and vilas. We say rati vilas, pastimes of love. And then there's so many different vilases. So vilas means pleasure, pastimes. It means enjoyment. It means happiness. So many things. So bhakti vilas means pastimes of love, which can take any kind of shape. Vatsali love or madhuri love, sakhi love. It applies across the board. And you were explaining that even it's the pastimes of devotees or the actions of devotees, the activities that devotees perform or engage in relation to attempting to and trying to please Krishna and Guru, they also produce in the devotee a certain amount of joy and happiness. So, although that is not our intention to try to get that, but that comes. What exactly is your question?
The last is enjoying, so the devotee is enjoying while he's performing bhakti. And karmi, gyanis, and yogis, they
don't have any vilas.
So how not to become focus on that enjoying for myself in the bhakti while performing bhakti.
Well, the question is how not to think about your own pleasure while performing bhakti or be focused on it. Well, if any thoughts like that come for your own pleasure, then you're not doing bhakti. You say, well, I'm doing bhakti. How to keep the thing is. Realize that bhakti means that you're so much concentrated and absorbed in trying to give pleasure to the beloved, in this case Radha and Krishna, and being very careful and attentive in all the different aspects of that. Well, even if it's just you're cooking some offering, then it has to be very clean and very and timely, on time, and with all the love you can muster and devotion and proper articles and most expertly cooked. So all your attention is just on that offering and on their pleasure and trying to make every aspect of that offering pleasurable for them. How it tastes, how it looks, how it's put on the tray, how it's presented to them. And so if your mind, because your mind can't focus on too many things at once. So it's only focused on their pleasure and always remembering. That's why Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandarbha that any devotional service must be coupled with, must be joined with the chanting of the Mahamantra. Mahamantra, or if you're an expert in memorizing Leela Kirtans or bhajans, you can sing some Leela Kirtan also. Not only Mahamantra, you can sing some bhajan while you're cooking or whatever, but something bhajan about the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is the bhajan. Mahaprabhu's Ramananda Roy is telling Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Shiksha. Then Lord Chaitanya says, what songs should one sing? What are the best songs that one should sing? And Ramananda Roy says, one should sing songs about the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. Songs means kavya, means poetry, means shlokas, means bhajans about Radha and Krishna. Specifically, these are the best and most pleasing to the Lord. Especially for us if we're Madhurya Mayi Bhaktas. We're aspiring to become Madhurya Mayi Bhaktas. Devotees full of the sweetness of Braj in our mind, heart, and dealings. So therefore, when the mind is fixed on that, on one side there's the particularities of the service we're rendering, that's going on, which absorbs practically all the mind and senses, and on the other, and heart. On the other side, or along with it, there's a chanting of bhajan or kirtan. There's no room for the mind to slip into this idea, well, let me see what enjoyment I can get, or will I get some enjoyment here. We're too busy and too absorbed with body, mind, senses, and heart, and ears, and everything, and the service and pleasure of the Lord, that won't happen. That's real bhakti. That's uttam bhakti. If you're slipping in and mixing in a little bit of, well, what about me, and maybe I'm getting some pleasure out of that, that'll come anyway. That'll automatically come. Because that's the nature of pure love. Because when one is fully absorbed and pleasing the beloved, the other lover is also a pure lover. Krishna is also a pure unmotivated lover. So we're also pure, we're trying to become pure unmotivated lovers of Krishna. And he already is. So when we offer our pure unmotivated love or attempt to him, then he's going to offer his unmotivated pure love to us. And you see that in his dealings and pastimes as Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. He simply, everything, he lives for Radharani. Krishna is Radharani's Prananath, and Radharani is Krishna's Prananath, or Praneshwari. The word is used, Praneshwari. Because it's, you know, Ishwari and Nath. So one is the Nath, one is the Ishwari, but the Prana is the same. So this is love. So I'm so much absorbed in you, I've forgotten about myself. This is the term Sridhar Swami used to use, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami. He says, in its highest expression of love, which is only found between Radha and Krishna and the gopis, that love, that individual, although the individual still maintains individuality, there's not a merging or oneness or giving up of identity. Individual identity is still maintained, but one's heart becomes totally melted and merged with the desire of the other person's heart, that the individual devotee becomes self-forgetful. You forget yourself. My happiness, myself, my body, I don't know. My mind is in your heart. My heart is in your heart. My body, everything is with you. That's why we have to read over and over again the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan. Because only by hearing about them will we really understand what is pure love. Any other description of other types of devotees, they're also devotees, they also have bhakti and pure bhakti, but not the highest expression of the most intimate, confidential, sweetest love that's known as Braj Bhakti. And we can't get enough of it. We can't read enough of it. Because every time we read these pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopis, then little drops of the topmost purity come into our heart. Bip, bip, bip. And like you see in the mountains, these heavy boulders, these heavy granite rocks, these primordial stones that are millions of years old, and they fall down the river somewhere and they line up under some waterfall. And a little bit of water comes down and falls on top of them. One little stream or one little trickle, small amount, drip, 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 big hard piece of granite, you can't break it with a sledgehammer. And after a few years, that little dripping of water makes a hole in that granite. You see all these rocks with holes in them and interesting shapes up in mountain streams. So this is these leelas, these Madhurya leelas of Radha and Krishna, they're like drops of the most refined and purest form of nectar. And our hearts are like granite. So the more that nectar drips, these nectar drops fall on our granite-like hearts, pretty soon they bore a hole inside. And then because inside the heart, we're actually there. There's a golden golden jiva there. There's a golden gopi. There's a golden gopi inside of every piece of granite known as the heart. Just like these Nepalese wallahs. No, yeah, Nepalese wallahs go to Gandaki and they crack open the shalagrams to get the gold out. Inside the shalagrams, there's sometimes 200 grams of gold. So you go up to Gandaki River and you see on the banks these big shilas all cracked in half. Sometimes they get like a baseball or softball of gold out of the shila. So that's Taptakanchana Gaurangi Sarup. Taptakanchana Gaurangi Sarup is inside. It's concealed. It's in here or it's there. It's concealed. Some say it's there. Some say it's here. The point is, it's concealed and it must be revealed. So anything else? There's still a few more minutes. Yeah, I see, but he lives here. You've come from Europe, Russia, all over. You're here for a few days. He's here. He's not going anywhere. Someone had a question. Or some people be gone for a few days and...
You spoke about Jata Rati. So what is Rati? There are many divisions. Rati has divisions.
So what is that we're coming to. Jata Rati. It's like the baby, some baby's in the womb, and he's saying, what's it like to be an airline pilot? And then the baby's in the womb upside down, and then he meets somebody comes inside there, and he says, oh, you've been around. Do you know, what is it like to be an airline pilot? I'll first take birth and find out. So Jata Rati. Rati means Bhav. Rati means Bhav. Rati and Bhav are interchangeable words. In this case, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying Jata Rati Sadaka means one. Jata means Janma, one in whom Bhava has appeared, manifested. And there are 9 symptoms of Bhava and nectar devotion. And there's different degrees of, obviously, intensities. Everything. There's degrees of anartanivrti. There's degrees of bhajana kriya. It's all degrees are there. It's not one. All different levels. Like in some lakes are 10 feet deep, some lakes are 50 feet deep, some lakes are 1,000 feet deep. So there's different levels. Prema, what about prema? Prema snan, pranaya man, like this, it goes up, mahabha. Yes, yes.
About the ruchi, non-ruchi.
Yes.
Now, what if a devotee has a very deep attachment, attraction to Rup, Gun, and Leela, but not so much enough that his flavor for hearing about Krishna's form, hearing his pastimes, is overwhelmingly takes over his whole consciousness? Rup still doesn't really sprout much of attraction in his heart. Is there something like it in that?
It's like saying, well, what if I bite the top side of the glove jam, and is that taste different than the bottom side of the glove jam? It's actually because we're really talking about Krishna's Sarup Shakti. Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, pastimes, is all Sarup Shakti. It's all glove jam. In terms of Krishna, it's sweet. If we're talking about Vishnu's name and form and qualities, there's something sweet, obviously, much sweeter than anything in the material world. But we're talking about Brajendranandan, Yashodanandan. So, if one is... The real question is that, what does one do with all that? If one spends all day hearing, and there's actual transformation, then it's good. But our Mahajanacharyas and our Mahaprabhu, they too much emphasize specifically this Sankirtan, chanting of the holy name, Kirtaniya Sadahari. However, the whole idea of emphasizing that is bring one to the point of having ruchi and asakti, ruchi, taste and attachment for Krishna. So if one reads all day, 24 hours a day, that means he has ruchi and attachment to Krishna. And if he's not chanting the name, The name is trying to bring us to the platform of Ruchi and Asakti and Bhava and Prema. So as Rupa Goswami explains in the end of the discussion on the 64 limbs of bhakti, he summarizes five, which are sometimes, you're well aware of it, they're called the Panchanga Bhakti. So he, and then after that, after mentioning those, he says, there's a verse there, he says, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, by performing any one of these limbs of bhakti, one can attain Krishna Prem. And one of them is Bhagavat Shravan. Bhagavat, what does it say? Bhagavat Shravan Rasik Bhakta Sahasanga. Bhagavat Shravan Rasik Bhakta Sahasanga. If one hears the Bhagavat, which means hearing, reading, books or hearing, in association, Sahasanga, Saha means with the association or in the association of Rasika Vaishnavas. So the Bhagavatam is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. He is a Rasika Vaishnava himself. But then if you read the Bhagavatam in association with Rasika Vaishnavas, who are those Rasika Vaishnavas? Well, there's one known as Vishwanath Chakravarti. There's one known as Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vallabhacharya, Sridhar Swami. There's another one that's known very well to us, Nityalila Parishnam Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He's also a Rasika Bhakta. So reading the Bhagavatam and the commentary in the association of these Rasika Bhaktas, and that's also a form of hearing. And then, and outside, and aside from reading, then Rasika Bhakta, it says Bhagavat Shravan, it means hearing, and with our going to some sadhu sangha and hearing from a very advanced Vaishnava speak Hari Katha. So either you read, if you read all day in the association of Rasika Vaishnavas, or you sit all day like people do in Radhakund during Kartik, they sit all day for 4 or 5 hours or 6 hours, they sit all day and night in the association of Rasika Bhaktas hearing Bhagavat Shravan, the glories of Bhagavan, and they can attain, they or you or anyone can attain perfection and prema. Or one can do Nam Sankirtan, or one can serve Murtis, or one can live in Mathura and remember Krishna's pastimes and go to Krishna's pastime places and worship them. In all these ways one can attain perfection.
Thank you very much.